The lines are blurring between television and online video. We'll tell you why that matters next, only on 100 TV. Let's do a show.
It's time for the Stream Leader Report. Discover the hottest trends in digital media. Here's your host, Ross Brand.
Welcome to episode 3 of the Stream Leader Report. I'm Ross Brand from Livestream Universe, and it's great to have you with us as we continue on our third week of 100 TV. Off to a great start. So many wonderful shows. I'm so proud to be a part of this network, both a video network primarily distributed on YouTube and a podcast network. And even though we are totally ensconced in the online world right now, I want to talk a little bit about the lines between television and online video, particularly YouTube, but all different types of online video. A study came out recently. It was reported that nearly half of all YouTube viewers are actually watching YouTube on their televisions. Now, this was one of the big discussions that we had when we were creating 100 TV. Where do we distribute to? And some people argued strenuously that we should be on TV, we need to be on TV, the goal is to be on TV. Now, I didn't think that that was necessarily the issue for a couple of reasons. One is, up until a couple of years ago, I never had a smart TV. And ever since I got a smart TV, much of my viewing time on a smart TV is watching YouTube. If I want to hear discussion about news and politics, I'm most likely watching a video podcast that I think brings me what I'm looking for better than what's on TV. If I'm interested in sports talk or interviews with athletes of the past, I'm just as likely, perhaps more likely, to watch YouTube on the TV than I am to watch television. Now, for breaking news and live sports, nothing compares to TV. But for everything else, the lines are really blurring. It's blurring in terms of quality. It's blurring in terms of the kind of content. I mean, certainly TV's got, when you think about the bigger networks and the shows and the producers and the, you know, the crews and all that kind of stuff, yeah, it's different. But when you're talking about basically talking head videos, you're talking about talk shows and discussions of news and sports and, you know, entertainment, politics and, you know, food and health and business and the different things that we talk about here on 100 TV. You're talking about behind the scenes, a day in the life, all that kind of stuff. I don't know that that comes across any better on TV than on YouTube. There's very, very good people at producing quality content for YouTube, and there's a lot of crap that's on TV. So that's how the lines are blurring. Now, nevertheless, there's many a YouTuber, maybe all of them at some level, right, who are successful, who are making a lot of money on YouTube. Probably more than they ever could make in TV for some of them, particularly at the top. And yet, most of them, if you ask them in their heart of hearts, what do they want? Deep down, they want the validation of being on TV. Because they want to get past the gatekeepers. They want to be invited into the club. They want that, what they feel is that legitimacy that television has that a network logo and, you know, one of the traditional networks or, you know, one of the popular cable networks can bestow upon its talent and its content. And I think a lot of your really most productive YouTubers, if you had to ask, would say, yeah, I want a shot at TV. It's not necessarily a great business move for them, and there's always a chance that what they're doing on YouTube isn't something that works in the format of traditional television. On the other hand, you have the video podcast, your classic, you know, you can think of a Joe Rogan type show, your classic couple of cameras, couple of microphones, and a conversation, whether it's one to many or it's amongst two or three people or four people in a either a one-on-one interview or a panel. That plays pretty well on YouTube. I think it also translates to TV. I talked about this in a podcast last year, which I talked about watching the YES Network, which is the Yankees Entertainment and Sports Network. It's a regional sports network in New York, perhaps the biggest regional sports network in the country. And they, of course, carry all the Yankee games and pre-games and post-games, and they carry other professional sports. They carry some NBA, and they carry on weekends. They carry some college sports. And they have a lot of obviously live games, and then they have a lot of programming around the teams that they cover. But they also still have a lot of hours to fill, and they would bring in, you know, a syndicated golf show, or they would bring in a show from overseas, or, you know, something on rowing or running or what have you. And what I noticed is they're starting to fill their time slots where they don't have games and they don't have programming from the teams or about the teams that they cover. They're starting to fill that with video podcasts. Podcasts that come from YouTube, look just like YouTube video podcasts because that's what they are. And they're seeing that as talk content that their audience would like. It's also very inexpensive content to create. So there is one thing that the creator, who's perhaps a YouTuber or a podcaster, but primarily doing online video, can think about is as budgets contract and there's a need for networks to have programming, the video podcast is one of the least expensive options you can have to fill time. And for a long time now, networks have been simulcasting radio shows, you know, where they put a couple of cameras in a radio booth and they carry a radio show on TV. Basically, you can watch the conversation. And that has worked, and that's one way that they filled hours. The YES Network, which I mentioned, carries the Michael Kay Show, which is a popular sports talk show in the New York City area that's on the ESPN radio station in New York. They carry that in the afternoons a lot of the time on weekdays. A video podcast really isn't that different than what Michael Kay and his co-hosts are doing in the afternoons. And so there's an opportunity there for podcasters, video podcasters, video creators that may be opening up. And since we're watching YouTube on our TV anyway, and we're getting used to that format on the big screen, I think it's inevitable that that's going to start moving some of that content, the best of it, will start moving, or maybe not the best of it, but that which has built an audience or proven it works in a certain niche, that will start to migrate into TV. And so that's one aspect of the opportunity. Now, if you want to get on TV, you can create your own channel on Roku. And you can use a CDN to deliver that content. You can set up your own on-demand channel for your show on Roku. You can use something like a Vimeo or other CDN, and you can set that up. Now, the reason why I believe that YouTube was right for 100 TV, more so than a Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, at this time, is that YouTube has an audience. It has, what, 2.5 billion active users? And each of us in 100 TV has our own audience on YouTube and or on other social networks. And so I thought the opportunity to grow on YouTube, given the fact that there's discovery, given the fact that YouTube is looking to find a way to put your video in front of people who will watch it and stay on. So you have a chance to reach a much wider audience. Yeah, ultimately, having TV is another distribution point. And putting our content there, then promoting that, is certainly something that I think would be a great addition to 100 TV. But not yet. I think YouTube is where we start to build the audience, and as well as bringing it over from the other socials. Nonetheless, TV is on our roadmap. And I wouldn't be surprised within the next year or two that we don't have channels on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and perhaps other TV services, other OTT services. But the opportunities for those who want to jump into the TV space are there, as I mentioned, Roku and others that let you set up your own channel and you distribute the videos through a CDN, and then you build your own audience, or you bring your own audience over there. The more of an audience that you have, the easier it is to redirect some people over there. The more you're dependent on discovery, the better your chances, I think, are to build an audience first on YouTube. The other thing that's going on is there are a lot of independent networks popping up, just like 100 TV is an independent network. There are independent networks popping up that are carried on all these services and are looking for content and looking for shows. I know a good number of people who are distributing their shows on TV through one of these kind of independent networks, or in the case of a friend of mine, Toni Henderson Mayer, she's actually acting in one or more series that's carried on an independent network on TV. And so there's a chance to reach a lot of people that way. If your content takes off, if you're able to market it, if you're able to get it in with a network that promotes well, that has that outreach, that can bring people in, or already has a built-in audience. Where we're going next with 100 TV, I should just mention, is we're heading into the podcasting space. So we are not only doing the videos and classifying them as video podcasts on YouTube, we're taking the audio and we're distributing it through Spreaker from iHeart. And as a part of their Prime network, which features independent networks, all of the 100 TV shows that want to distribute as podcasts have that opportunity as part of the 100 TV podcast division. The network will be live, and you can start going to find your favorite shows from our network on podcast. So you can listen to the audio version. You can listen as you drive. You can listen when you're offline by downloading it. It's another opportunity to connect with 100 TV and consume the content without necessarily having to be in front of a screen. Okay, so back to TV and the lines being blurred. So that's the attraction of TV. The numbers on TV are not as big as you might imagine them to be. I mean, I know a lot's in the news now with Fox News and Tucker Carlson versus CNN versus MSNBC. It's not that many people that they're fighting over when you think of the number of people in the U.S. and the number of people in the world. And then you think of what the most popular podcasts and most popular YouTube shows are doing in terms of numbers, in terms of viewers and watch time and all those things. It's pretty amazing how at the upper levels of online, you can make an even bigger impact and make even more money than you can on traditional television. Doesn't take away the desire of the live streamer and the video creator and the podcaster to get their face on TV. But it does speak for opportunities on the online side. And another reason why we've created 100 TV. The other thing that attracts people to TV, and particularly network television and the big cable networks, is that sense of authority, that sense of that they're doing something important, that they're part, you know, that they're at the core of the electronic media. And I mean, when I think of something that really encapsulates that, I think about the little island nation of San Marcos. I think it's a little island nation. But I don't know how many people have seen the movie Bananas from, I don't know, 69, 72, something like that. It's a very old movie, Woody Allen movie. And there's a scene that starts off the movie in which ABC Sports Worldwide, what was it? ABC Worldwide, ABC's Wide World of Sports is down in the little island nation of San Marcos to cover the assassination of the president. And starts out with a figure who I think is supposed to be like Jim McKay, the old sportscaster, who would be anchoring. And then he throws it for the coverage to Howard Cosell. And Howard Cosell is calling it like it's a boxing match. And then the assassination takes place. The president is shot. And Howard says, "We want to get a word with the president," you know, and he's El Presidente, you know, he's trying to get through the crowd. He's American television. Would you people move American television? Like the fact that he's with American television should open all the doors, clear out the crowd and get him on a straight path to the shot and soon to be deceased president of San Marcos. American television. And so it still has that draw. And it still has that, like Howard used to say when he was doing radio, he got into a fight with a producer. He said, "We're just doing a radio report here. This isn't a one-hour television spectacular." Okay, so TV has that grandiose thing going, and it has that special place and that sense of importance. Oh, TV's here. Not what it used to, but it still does, and so there is a draw there. And that's where you have to be really strategic in terms of, do you choose YouTube? Do you choose other online sources of distribution? Our focus at 100 TV has been entirely on YouTube on the video side. But do we consider Twitch? Do we consider maybe multi-streaming and going to Rumble or distributing on Twitch or Rumble on a different day the content that we distribute to YouTube? Those are other questions to ask, as well as where on the roadmap are we in terms of heading into TV land. So, let's talk about some of the different types of TV that have emerged since traditional broadcasting and cable television. To provide some background into this, I want to learn these better myself, and so let's work on this together. I'm going to bring up some definitions here, and hopefully this will be helpful to you as well. If you're thinking about getting into TV, where to go, which is the right service or the right approach for you. And if you're a viewer, you might learn about some different options from that perspective as well. First of all, let's start with OTT. What is OTT TV? OTT stands for over-the-top television, or over-the-top, which means that it's TV that's delivered over the internet without the need for a traditional cable or satellite subscription. Popular OTT TV services include Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime, and Disney Plus. Another type of television you may have heard of is AVOD, which stands for ad-supported video on demand. This is where you can access TV shows and movies for free, but you have to watch ads in between them. Some examples of AVOD services include Crackle, Tubi, and Pluto TV. These services offer a wide variety of content from classic movies to recent TV shows and are a great option for those who want to watch TV without paying a monthly subscription. On the other end of the spectrum, we have SVOD, or subscription video on demand, where users pay a monthly subscription fee to access a library of TV shows and movies. Again, Netflix, Amazon Prime, Hulu, all examples of subscription-based services, as well as newer entrants like Apple TV+, Paramount+, HBO Max. These kind of services typically offer exclusive content as well as access to older shows and movies that you might not find on other platforms. Another newer category of television is called FAST, or free ad-supported television. This is similar to AVOD in that you can access the content for free, but the difference is that FAST services are typically live channels like traditional cable TV. So in a sense, 100 TV, when we're streaming on Mondays and soon to be on Tuesdays, all of our content, one after the other, each starting at a specific time, we're setting up a FAST structure, free ad-supported television. Some examples of FAST services include Pluto TV, Zumo, and Crackle. These services offer live channels that you can watch on your TV or device and often have a wide variety of content from news to sports to entertainment. What's interesting about Pluto is I believe it has both live and on demand. So it's a FAST and an AVOD, I believe. So in essence, AVOD is focused on demand, while FAST is focused on live programming and channels. Both types of services are free for viewers to access, but generate revenue through advertising. Pluto is considered both an AVOD and a FAST service because it offers a mix of on-demand and linear channels and is free to access with advertising support. Pluto TV is designed to resemble traditional TV with scheduled programming and channels that can be browsed and selected, but it also includes on-demand content that can be accessed at any time. The service is able to offer this content for free due to advertising revenue, which is integrated into the viewing experience. That is the model that we are setting up with 100 TV. We stream our shows in a linear fashion, but we also then later upload them and make them available on demand and make them put them into binge-worthy playlists. Okay, so we've talked about AVOD, SVOD, FAST in the realm of OTT. Where do services like Apple TV, Fire TV, and Roku fit in the context of this discussion? Well, Apple TV, Fire TV, and Roku are devices that allow users to stream content from various services, including subscription-based streaming services like Netflix and Hulu, as well as free ad-supported services like Pluto TV and Tubi. In this context, these devices are considered connected TV platforms as they enable users to access a variety of content on their TV screens without the need for cable or subscription. Apple TV and Fire TV also offer their own original content through their respective subscription services, Apple TV Plus and Amazon Prime Video. Roku, on the other hand, does not produce original content, but offers its own free ad-supported streaming service called the Roku Channel, which features a mix of movies and TV shows. Overall, these devices are the gateways for users to access a wide range of content from different sources, making it easier for them to discover new shows and movies and watch them on their TVs. Thanks for joining me for another episode of Stream Leader Report. Stay tuned here for more great shows, including Business in the Raw with Rebecca Gunter, coming up next. I'm Ross Brand. This is the Stream Leader Report. We'll catch you again next week on another episode of the Stream Leader Report, only on 100 TV. Take care, everybody.